Hey, I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
This is Sidelines
and Headlines.
And we are here in Grants again for another edition of our Sidelines and Headlines podcast. We've got two very special guests with us. Sarah Tidwell, who's with the Athens Banner-Herald, and Stuart Steele with the Oconee Enterprise. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into this crazy media business.
Yeah, I'm actually from Michigan. I graduated from Michigan State University with my bachelor's in sports journalism in 2022. So it's been about 3 years now. Didn't get this job until a year out of college, but I fell in love with sports writing when I was in my sophomore year of college. So covering Michigan State basketball, Tom Izzo, all of the legendary stuff that goes on there. Yeah, that kind of made me fall in love with it, and then...
So Michigan to Athens, Georgia, that's a long way. How did that happen?
Yeah. I knew the recruiter down here. He told me, he was like, we have a couple openings. Apply for all of them. We'll see which one we think fits you best. But he was like, I think Athens is really going to be good for you because it's kind of the Ann Arbor of the South.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. It's more like not home because obviously I'm from Lansing in the Detroit area. But I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then I interviewed and met everybody, and they were like, yeah, you're going to fit right down here. And I was like,
good. That's great. Stuart, tell us about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit closer to home. I grew up in Tucker, Georgia, and then went to UGA as well and got my degree in journalism and certificate in sports journalism as well, and worked at the Red and Black for a couple years, covering, obviously, football and women's basketball and track and field and a variety of sports, and then graduated in 2023 and got the job at the Oconee Enterprise, and I've been working there ever since for about two years and some change now.
Now tell me what your job at the Enterprise entails. I think I know, having worked there, but most folks watching don't know.
Sure. So as sports editor, it's just covering mostly high school sports, occasionally some community stuff, and a little bit of like middle school on occasion, but we try to mostly focus on high school sports for... the five schools we cover are Athens Academy, Oconee County High School, North Oconee High School, Prince Avenue Christian School, and Westminster Christian Academy. So it's all the sports of those schools. So it's been a busy time the last couple weeks with some of the fall sports doing their playoffs. But now it's mostly looking like I'll be just doing football for a little while until basketball gets going.
Also got softball, cross country, and volleyball competing with football.
Yep.
Sarah, what's your job at the Banner-Herald?
So I cover 18 different programs all the way out about 45 minutes from here. So let's see, Appalachie, Athens Academy, Athens Christian, Bethlehem Christian, Cedar Shoals, Clark Central, Commerce, East Jackson, Jackson County, Jefferson, Monsignor Donovan Catholic, Madison County, North Oconee County, Oglethorpe County, Prince Avenue Christian, Westminster Christian, and Winder Barrel.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I'm just impressed that she could remember
that. I didn't that.
Without notes or anything.
I have the list memorized in alphabetical order in my head. I've had to type it out so many times in that order that I'm just like, I have it memorized.
All right.
But I cover all sports for all 18 of those schools. So.
Okay, so we're going to mainly kind of talk about football tonight because that's what we do.
That's it, Blake. I said I grew up in South Georgia. We had two sports, football and spring football.
Now, my daughter is the head volleyball coach at Madison County High School.
Okay.
So, Emily Shire, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to
meet. I have met
her. That's my daughter.
Okay.
And she had a very tough finish to the end of the season in the region tournament. They got a little bit tired and lost to a team that they'd beat during the regular season. But that's how it goes. Well, we've been watching from a distance, of course, and a lot of good teams in this area. One of the questions I have, North Oconee looks like they're going to be the team to beat again this year. Now, what happened in that 14-13 win over Eastside?
I honestly think it was because they didn't have Kawhari.
Really?
Yeah.
He makes that much difference.
Yeah. I mean, in the last two and some change years that I've covered them, he has made quite a bit of a difference. I know they only graduated Landon and the Mink brothers after last year, so everybody was pretty much returning. But defense-wise, yeah, I think he makes quite a bit of a difference.
So you've seen Kamari play in various sports.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about him as an athlete.
I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, I think he's one of the very best athletes I've covered, you know, since I've come to the Enterprise, and it's been impressive to watch, you know, a guy blossom in two sports where he wins state championships in basketball and football. And, you know, it's not like he's kind of a hanger-on in either of those either. I mean, he's a key piece of both of those title teams, all three of them that he won. I think that was a big part of North Oconee. Obviously, losing a player of that caliber is going to affect them. But, you know, I thought offensively they weren't at their best in that game either against Eastside, you know, covering it on the ground. Quarterback, the Harrison Faulkner's dealing with something with his shoulder. I'm not sure on the exact severity of that either, but it seemed like they were kind of limited in what they could do offensively compared to what we're used to seeing from North Oconee, where, you know, you expect them to put up 30 or 40 points a game because that's just how it's been the last few years under Coach Arendt especially. So I thought it was mildly concerning to see them kind of have a game like that where, you know, the last couple years in their region, they've largely just dominated teams. Last year against Eastside, it was also tight, but that Eastside team had a few players that they lost, so I wasn't anticipating it being as close of a game this year. So I was a little worried about that, but I trust North Oconee as a program to figure it out and be right there in 4A as they have been the last few years.
So his prognosis, that's season ending, I mean, for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, Mari's done for until January. He's had 3 months. And
that's what I thought.
He's got to get hip surgery. I think he's getting surgery, right?
I think he said no surgery.
Oh, no surgery. Okay, but I know he's out until January, which
will
would
he play
be...
basketball?
He's early enrolling at Georgia.
So he's going to graduate early. So tell me what level, what's he going to play at the next level? What's his position?
I think he's an edge defender. I mean, the frame he has and the length he has suits so well to, I thought Georgia was really smart to go get him and then be aggressive about getting him because I think he fits exactly what Kirby Smart looks for in guys on the edge. And as he continues to fill out, you know, with his size and knowing how to use his body and his frame, I think he's going to be just an awesome fit defensively with Georgia.
Well, both of you mentioned Landon Rodan, who's over at Georgia now, and we haven't heard much from him this year. Is that just a factor of him? It's a big pond, and he's not quite up to the level yet, you think?
Yeah, I would think so. With the wide receiver room, they have, obviously, Levin Humphreys. They have they had Colby Young. Now, obviously, he's out. They have Dylan Bell and all of that. I think Landon is more, they're using him more as a specialist, I think, because he's just not up to, he's still growing, obviously.
Yeah.
He's not as experienced. I think maybe next year he might see some more play time, but he has seen the field a couple times this year.
Blowouts, yeah.
But in some of the early games.
Well, now, I've never seen Harrison Faulkner play. I'm always at the Prince Avenue School, so I don't get to see North Oconee. Tell me about him as a quarterback.
Oh my God, that kid has an arm. I'm surprised he's going to Georgia Southern and not a bigger college.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know too much about Georgia Southern. But I was picturing him ending up at Georgia Tech or Georgia, personally, or an ACC school in South Carolina. Very good, very good IQ, knows where his receivers are at all times. Like, I mean, he'll throw it, and you'll be like, there's no way anybody's going to catch that. And then there's Dallas, or there's Maddox, somebody's down the field. And then just the chemistry he has with his receivers is insane.
He's got a pretty good pedigree, I guess, in knowing the game, doesn't he?
Yeah,
with Buster Faulkner.
Yeah.
Well, now, I got to see Oconee, though, in a scrimmage game earlier this year against Habersham Central. My grandson plays for Habersham Central. And in that game, they made like 7 turnovers and had no chance to win the game. But here they are, and they got a chance to win the region. But it's going to be tough. They got to beat Jefferson. And who are they playing this week? They got Monroe Area, which we could also win that region.
I'm going to be there, yep.
Tell me about Oconee County. What's been their strengths and weaknesses this year?
Yeah, I mean, I was concerned after their scrimmage games, and then they had a tough start to the season with North Oconee. Obviously, that's a big challenge every year for them. And then week 3, they took a tough loss to Morgan County. But what I've been impressed with that team is just the growth they've shown, and those turnovers were such a concern early on, as you mentioned, and they've really cleaned that up. They got Caden Wood back, the running back, who's a senior. He had torn his ACL in the playoffs last year, and man, I mean, that's been, I think, the biggest story as far as an individual player making an impact since he's been back. He's just gotten right back to what he does, which is he's a great runner and a great receiver out of the backfield, and they run the offense through him. The first game he was back, I mean, he got 20-plus carries in that game, and it was just like, they weren't concerned at all about his injury history, and they were like, we needed this kid back, and he's hit the ground running.
I think he had four touchdowns in that game, too.
He's had so many touchdowns in so many of these games.
Double digits now.
Now, what's his name again?
Caden Wood.
Now, what's his future? Is he a Saturday player?
I think he should be. Not at one. I don't know if he'll get looks from the bigger schools at this point later on in your high school career. It can be hard, especially with that injury history. But I think if he wants to play and really is committed to it, I wouldn't be surprised to see some smaller schools come and be interested in him. And I think he's earned that opportunity and deserves to have some of those looks.
Yeah.
Is Clark Central, are they mathematically out of the playoffs?
Oh, no. I think they're probably going to make the playoffs because they're in such a weak region. You've got so many bottom dwellers in that team, and they're right on the cusp of getting
it. Well, if they win this week, they'll be 5-5, which it just seemed like every week they've just been clawing, trying to get back to...
But with Appalachie in that region...
And Alcovy, they play Winder Barrett. Winder is probably... Right on par with Clark Central.
Yep.
Clark Central lost their best player too, sort of like O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
They lost actually their two best players. Hezekiah Millender is now at Georgia,
right.
And then they lost Corey Watkins, the running back.
Then we were talking about A.J. Lohman getting hurt this year.
That too, yeah.
So that's been critical for them, everything. And then you mentioned Clark Central. We've been paying attention, hoping that Cedar Shoals would finally end that losing streak goes back to 2023. Of course, they almost beat Clark Central. They came close against Stevens County, 13-7. Came close against Walnut Grove, 9-6. Came close against East Forsyth, 21-14. But they're going to wind up. They got to play Eastside and Flower at Ranch last year. That doesn't look very hopeful. Have you gotten to know the coach at Cedar Shoals?
I have not gotten to know him super well. I've gone to two of their games, I believe. He knows what he's doing. When I was at the Clark Central Cedar Shoals game, he was all over those boys. I mean, I walked by the whiteboard at one point, and it just was like, run the ball. Like, they just written in all caps, run the ball.
Really? This is Coach Sharpie, they call it. Coach Sharpie is his name and everything. Super.
He seems like he's a culture changer, and that's what they need.
He 100% is. I mean, the fact that they have so many close games after last year, they were getting shutout after shutout after shutout.
Coach Berno at Clark Central thinks highly of him. So
they've been best friends for about 30 years.
Yeah, that's right. They're going back to when they were both college baseball players, I think.
Yep.
So that goes back. Well, let's go back to Oconee County a little bit now. Of course, I see Prince Avenue every week. You guys have seen them too. What's your evaluation of the Wolverines?
It's been an interesting season, I think, for Prince Avenue. I mean, obviously the big story coming in was the transition at head coach with Coach Rick coming in, and I think he's done a good job, but that loss to Hart County, you know, was, I think, really concerning for them because it puts them in a difficult spot in that region now with Hart and obviously Hebron Christian that has been, you know, really rising up the last couple years, and that's going to be a big game on Halloween coming up to kind of decide that region. But there's a chance the Wolverines are, you know, third coming out of the region.
They could be third, which would drop them way down, and who knows what kind of first round position they get, because they could go from first to third. I don't know that there's a way they can finish second unless Hart County loses.
Yeah, I think that's right.
If Stevens County beats Hart County this week, and that would be for all the region championship next week. So you've seen Wolverines this year. What's your evaluation?
I agree that Hart County loss was a little bit scary. I know it happened in like the final minute. It was an interception or something like that, but the fact that they were that close with the team who at that point had only had one win.
Yeah.
It was nerve-wracking. But I know that John Rick is very passionate about what he's doing, and he's doing a really great job filling Greg Vandegrift's shoes. Like you said, if they fall to third in the region, this will be the first time in 6 years that they've lost the region title.
Yeah.
It's been since 2019 or 2020 that they've...
Well, the Hart County loss was their first region loss in a number of years.
Yeah, because their first loss before that was Blessed Trinity, which that was kind of expected.
Sure.
Blessed Trinity's a pretty good program. But yeah, I think that they've got a good head on their shoulders, and they've managed to keep things afloat. But yeah, these next 2 weeks.
Well, they've had to deal with injuries too, and it's particularly in the line.
Yeah.
They were already a little bit thin, but Luke Gowder getting hurt, and also Gabe Prince getting hurt.
Yeah.
They may get Gowder back. Prince is gone for the year, So that's a tough blow for them.
Yeah, I was at softball yesterday for Prince Avenue, and I talked to Ricketts, and he said they've been dealing with quite a bit of injuries that they're not happy about. They're hopefully going to get all of them back soon, but yeah, injuries have been plaguing, I think, every program.
I think John Rick's a sharp young guy, but obviously he's got a good pedigree. But the transition from Vandegrift had to be some things going on behind the scenes that were a little tough. Maybe just he was so successful. I think John's going to do a great job over time. I mean, I just, you know, they may who knows, they might put that Hart County lost behind them and kind of get a little momentum going in the playoffs. Who knows?
And the other team in Oconee County, of course, Athens Academy. No, I say that. Now, is Westminster, do they play football? Or
they play eight-man football in the GIAA.
I've never even seen an eight-man football game.
Yeah.
They're really good.
How many teams are there?
Oh, gosh. I cover two of them, but there's not that many.
Didn't Georgia sign a guy from an eight-man team from last year?
I can't recall.
I don't remember.
So tell me about Westminster. I don't know anything about them.
So, yeah, I mean, their program kind of rebooted a few years ago. It had been gone for, I think, almost a decade, and they came back with this eight-man football, and their coach over there is Chad Evans, and they've done a great job of building this group up from the first season, you know, really struggling, and now the last couple years they've been in the playoffs. They're trying to win a playoff game is kind of the next step in that growth, and they've got a, you know, it's a smaller roster, obviously, with eight-man football. It's, you know, 20 or less kids usually on the roster year to year, but they've got a good nucleus of seniors. Their quarterback over there, Ethan Townsend, is a good kind of dual threat. Asa Moorcraft is another real standout on both sides for them, because a lot of those guys obviously have to play both ways, more than you usually see with some of these programs that are, you know, traditional tackle football.
Well, now, do they play on the same size field?
I believe it's the same size.
Okay.
I
didn't know.
The field, Marie. I'm not sure.
I've read about it, but I can't remember. I know out in West Texas they have a lot of little small high schools that play. I think one of the quarterbacks that was the star at Texas played eight-man football. I forget who it is. I'll come back.
Now, the other team, Athens Academy, they're playing for the region championship tomorrow night against Raymond County. Of course, Elbert County is still in the mix on that thing, too. But I was talking to Josh. They could be in the same situation they were last year.
Yeah.
Play a game and then not play for 4 weeks. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah. I think they set it up like that on purpose. But I also don't know. I think taking the bye week on the last week of the season is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Madison County takes theirs on the first week of the season, which is also an interesting choice. I don't know the decision there.
But Prince had two open weeks.
Yeah. They had three before the season started, and I had to call John and be like, hey, are you taking three off weeks this year? And he's like, no, we just can't find anybody.
Well, they finally added Jackson. Was it Jack? No, Westside out of Macon.
Yeah. That's
who they added the last second to fill out the schedule. And he's already talking about trying to fill in his schedule for next year, and nobody wants to play him. So we'll see.
I think if they get hot, they can be good. They got a couple of playmakers. Athens Academy does.
Yeah.
Keon.
Yes.
Zay Prince, too.
Yeah. Zay Prince and Keon.
And their quarterback is pretty good. I mean, I think in the last two games, he's thrown 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, is what I think he tweeted the other day.
Now, how about Zay Prince? Is he going somewhere? Or?
I don't know. He transferred from Oklahoma County this year, so this is his first year on Athens Academy. I don't know how his recruiting is going. When I asked him about why he transferred at their scrimmage against Prince, he said it was because he wanted more opportunities. Mm-hmm. So hopefully doors have been opening for him, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him since then about it.
Well, now, I saw the Academy in Prince and the scrimmage that was played over there in the indoor facility. And one of the things that struck me about the Academy, they've been small for so many years. They're still not gigantic, but they really got a decent line this year. I think that's going to make a big difference. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like their center, Buck Talley, I think is his name. Yeah, he's made steps to be, you know, a big guy on the field. Chap Chapman, the quarterback. I don't know. I think that they've they graduated a lot of people after last year with Wingfield and Johnson and was there other
Welch.
Yeah, those three were key last year, and they graduated all of them. And I didn't think that they were going to have the same caliber, because Chap had never taken a snap ever. This was his first time, because Hampton obviously was.
I thought he looked good in even that little scrimmage they played over there.
Really
that was
good.
His first
day
play. He left Andrew, right? Left him?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, he looks really good.
All right, you mentioned the transfer from Oglethorpe County. There's another team that has been a real surprise this year. Oglethorpe County wins over Raven County and Commerce.
Yeah. I was at the Commerce win. That one was insane. I did not expect it. The first time since 1992 that Oglethorpe County has beaten Commerce. I think that was when George H.W. Bush was president.
Wow.
That's what I looked up.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, by the way, we're at Brent's on Atlanta Highway.
And we got some
come join
chips
us.
And dips, and y'all dig right in when you feel comfortable doing so. Speaking of Commerce, what's going on there?
Okay, when I was at that game, I talked to Coach afterwards. He was not very happy, obviously, because they still haven't won a game.
Yeah.
But he said they're young. They're figuring it out. Their quarterback's a sophomore. They had a senior, he's a junior. They had Leighton Bryson transfer in from Athens Christian.
Right.
He played the first two games, I think, at quarterback, and then they realized it wasn't really working out. He didn't give me any details, but they decided to move him to the line, and then they put Tate Kirk, who's a sophomore, at quarterback. And Tate's really good. They have what it takes, but also they also graduated their trio of runners this week between Tyshawn, Jakari, and Jaden Daniels.
Now, Commerce, for years, the forward pass was a foreign concept of theirs. Have they introduced that into the offense under this new coaching staff?
Yes.
That's probably part of the growing pains, I guess.
Yeah, I think both of their touchdowns last Friday were actually passing touchdowns, which I had never seen the first 2 years covering them.
We haven't talked, Blake and I talk a lot about Athens Christian. I know they're, I guess they'll be in the playoffs from the GIAA in that.
I think so. They should be.
They're right around 500, yeah.
Yeah.
So who are they playing this
I think week? They play Piedmont Academy from Monticello, if I'm not mistaken.
And they lost last week to Piedmont.
Yeah, they lost in week 8 to Bethlehem Christian, which is also in 11-man, and it's doing...
I thought they played Piedmont this week. Is that not right?
I didn't write that down, so I don't really remember. One of their fundraisers, and one of the key guys, is a member of our church, and he's been keeping me up to date. They actually had a kid who moved in with them, who came over here from Poland.
Oh, I wrote a story about their kicker. He moved in from Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I told Jim this. I went to Raising Cane's on a Monday night last spring, and there's about 40 young men in there, all dressed in black shirts and shorts or something like this. Turned out it was a bunch of German, American football players from Germany who were here on a tour of local high schools trying to get somebody to say, come on and play for us.
Okay.
And in fact, Josh Alexander, every year he goes over and does a clinic in Germany. You should talk to him about that.
Oh, I did not know that. That would be a good story.
Just talk to both of you guys.
Yeah.
So, here
all right,
I am
let's
rock,
paper, scissors,
for it. So that's great. All right. Well, so let's look ahead to this weekend's games. Prince Avenue at East Jackson. East Jackson had a nice start to the season.
Yeah. They're 0-3 in region now.
Off the skids when they hit the region play.
Yeah. I went in week 9. That was the week I brought my dad to East Jackson. And they had one touchdown against Franklin County, which historically Franklin County hasn't been very good. I don't know. The tides have turned for them this year. East Jackson had one touchdown, and it was an 80-yard run by their quarterback. Mm. And then I looked last week, and they had one touchdown. It was a 75-yard run by their quarterback.
Wow.
So Drew Richardson is kind of, he's a dual threat. He's doing everything he can, but it's just not enough. I don't know what's going wrong with BT Callahan. I don't know what's going wrong with anything else on their line. I just know that Drew is the one holding it together.
Now, had either one of y'all seen Hebert play?
Have not.
Not yet.
I'll be there next week, though.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
That's going to be the game.
Yeah.
Of course, we mentioned Athens Academy. They're at Raven County tonight. And then they're going to have possibly 4 weeks off before they play again, which is going to be a challenge. North Oconee at Flowery Branch. If they win the game, they will clinch the region, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
And then they still have to play Walnut Grove.
Yep.
Which is at the bottom of the region, right?
Then Oconee County, they've got a tough finish.
Yes.
Monroe Area and Jefferson. Well, that's back-to-back. Two hard games.
Well, the Jefferson game last year with Oconee County, you were at that, right?
Yeah, the overtime.
The two-point conversion in overtime by Mason Hall. Yeah. Hopefully it's going to be...
But then in the playoffs, Jefferson kind of just took care of business and blew them out. I mean, Jefferson's been a thorn in Oconee County side, not just on the football field, but in a bunch of sports now, because they're in the same region in 3A, and they play, I feel like they play in the playoffs a lot, playing a lot of region championship games, and Jefferson has gotten the better of Oconee on a lot of those. That'll be a big game and a big test for Oconee County, because as good as they've been, I don't know if they're quite at the level of Jefferson as far as the depth of their team and the talent on both sides of the ball, because obviously Coach Nolan has built a really good program over there in Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson is strong even without Max Brown, and that's saying something, because their quarterback obviously is new with Gavin Gark graduating. They don't have Dallas Russell at running back anymore because he decided to focus on wrestling. So to be able to be as good as you were last year and not have your talented running back, linebacker, Max Brown, that says something.
Yeah, it's amazing that three schools around here had major guys they lost to injury this year. I mean, the Jefferson's kind of like North Oconee. They got a great program.
Well, I keep pulling for the Jefferson girls soccer team to finally win a state championship. Molly McCarty is their coach over there. They did. Her dad was Lewis Ganey over at the track coach at Georgia for many years. Molly, I think, was the first girl my son dated for a couple of weeks, you know. So we've had a soft spot for Molly for so many years, and her and her husband Wayne, they're just two of our favorite people, and we just keep pulling for them to win that state championship.
Yeah, I was at that game.
They came so close.
Yeah. It was a heartbreaker.
Good deal. All right. Commerce, 0-8. Banks County, 0-8. Coached by last year's Commerce coach. What's going to give in that game?
Oh, God. I don't know. I think Mark Hollers is not known for throwing the ball, like you said earlier.
Right.
He is a run guy. So I don't have much knowledge on Banks County. They did play. Who else did they play recently in the area?
Banks County?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have their schedule in front of me.
I think they played. They might have played Oglethorpe. I can't remember. But yeah, it's going to be kind of how Cedar Shoals has been. It's going to be a very close game. There's just not. They're both kind of figuring it out.
Do you think anybody will be there? I mean, when you're 0-8, 0-8, what's.
Well, it depends. Is it that
Banks County?
Is it at Banks County?
It's at Banks County. In
home. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
It might be crowded because it might be their best chance to see a win.
Are you guys seeing good crowds at the games? Clark Central doesn't draw well, do
they? No, Clark and Cedar have not drawn well this year. Commerce, there was a decent crowd for Oglethorpe last week. East Jackson, there was a decent crowd against Franklin County. North, obviously, their crowd is always...
Yeah. And a county, I would say.
And Oconee County, yeah. Prince had a decent crowd when I went out there as well for the West Side South Carolina game.
And that reminds me, Jackson County is having a great season. It's going to come down to them and Habersham Central in the last game of the year. Have you seen Jackson County play?
I have. I watched them play. I actually watched their one loss against Jefferson.
Okay.
And
they came close in that game.
They did. It was by 3 points, I believe. Jefferson obviously just kind of outsmarted them a little bit at the end there. And when I talk to Coach, that's been a famed rivalry for a long time, and they've had each other's throats for a long time. Last year, Jackson County kind of came out of the woodworks. They managed to host their first playoff game for the first time in 32-ish years. Best season run they've had. Corey Mobbs knows what he's doing, and he has a lot of good backing him up on that line. So.
Well, I don't follow them that much. A little bit of tidbit on Jackson County. That was the debut of Russ Tanner's broadcast career. It was at Jackson County in Prince Avenue. There, it was the first time he did color for me on the radio. And, of course, you know, Russ now, he is a media sensation in this area. And we had him on our podcast a few weeks ago. All right, quick question. If you're naming your player of the year that you've seen this year, who's it going to be?
You can go first.
I'm coming off watching Athens Academy last week, and he mentioned him earlier, but Keon Standifer just blew me away, and he's had some of these games this year. He had a 6-touchdown game one week, I think 5 in the first half another week. And then last week, just watching how he impacts the game and in all three phases. The opening play of the game was they threw a kick return. It went kind of short, and the guy threw it back to Keon, and he ripped off about a 60-yard kickoff return and catches a touchdown. He caught 2 touchdowns in that game, had an interception, blocked a field goal. It's just one of those guys where you're not gonna watch an Athens Academy game and not know, you know, who their star player is, because he's playing everywhere.
Jim, you remember what Josh told us at the beginning of the season about the coaches' meeting they had?
Yeah, he told his assistant coaches, just draw up plays, and we need plays to get the ball in his hands.
I think that's smart.
Isn't that what it was?
Exactly. And of course, Zay Prince has been a great asset for him, too.
Yeah.
But at that level, you got an impact guy like that.
Yes.
I mean, you win some games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, football is a team sport, but you got a guy that can go.
He can get behind a secondary. If you got a quarterback, and get it to him.
Yeah.
You got 6 points.
It's different than 7A. You don't have our 6A. You know, you don't have as many athletes out on the field that can deal with that guy. You know.
Sure.
All right, Sarah, you on the spot.
Keon, I agree with, but I also would have to probably say either Ben Musser or Andrew Beard over at Prince.
Oh, wow, okay.
Both of them, they're kind of a dynamic duo this year. Every single recap I read, Chris Starrs for us, it mentions them. It's Ben threw for 4 or 5 touchdowns, Andrew scored 3 of them. And then, you know, they have just been insane. And the decommit from Ben from Virginia Tech, I mean, hopefully he told me he's got some people on his line, big schools. I know Andrew obviously has big schools on his line as well. So good things in the future for them, knowing they're only juniors.
Did you see them play last year?
I saw them a couple times play last year.
You know, I think what Ben has really done is he's improved his passing. He's much more accurate as a passer than he was last year. And he's always had the speed to be the breakaway guy and get yards with his feet. The thing that's a little different this year, they don't have as big a line in front of them. So every yard that Andrew Beard gets, he almost has to get on his own. You know, he doesn't have some of those holes to get in the secondary like he had last year. He won't have as many yards this year, but he's having just as good a year as he had last year. So they're two great players.
The great Matt Guest just walked in again.
Yeah, he was here last week. All right, he's probably finding out where's those podcast guys going to be. Hey, we want to thank you guys for joining us and helping us have a great podcast this week. And tell folks, how can they find where to read your stuff?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously you can get the print newspaper. The Oconee Enterprise releases every Thursday new editions, and you can subscribe to that online at OconeeEnterprise.com as well. And we're on Twitter and Facebook, the Oconee Enterprise Sports, if you want to follow along. We post some of our stories and some live, you know, posting from games as well throughout the week, especially for football. So that's just a few of the places you can find us.
Good deal. How about you, Sarah?
OnlineAthens.com. We'll have all of our digital stuff. We print every day of the week except for Mondays. So there will be print copies in your local grocery stores, wherever you can get a newspaper nowadays. And then I don't know how much social media we use. I do know our articles go up online. So Twitter, Facebook, Online Athens. But you can also follow me on Twitter at Sarah M. Tidwell. And I live tweet every game I go to on Friday night. I'll retweet things from Chris Starrs, who will have, you know, our final scores and that kind of stuff. I retweet things from, I think his name's Chris Bridges out at, well, he also covers some of the same schools as I do. So there's some overlap there, and obviously Stewart too. But I have content every Friday, and I tweet out all of my articles. I have Facebook. If you're an Athens area fan or parent, we have a special Facebook group you can join. So we have a lot of outlets.
We appreciate what y'all do. High school sports, that's what it's all about.
So. All right, good deal. Hey, we'll be back with more here on Sidelines and Headlines.
Come out to Brett's.
Yeah, like us, subscribe, tell all your friends about us. We'll be back. Hey, I'm Blake Johns.
I'm Jim Harden.
The Sideline.
And Headlines.
And we're back here at Brett's, and we're still joined by Stuart Steele and Sarah Tidwell. Sarah with the Appalachian Herald, Stuart with the Oklahoma Enterprise. We're going to talk a little Georgia football. Sarah, I see you in the press box.
Yeah, I did. Actually, I did not know that you were the one that talks in the press box. My phone tells us everything.
Oh, really? You didn't know that was my phone?
I can't see you all the way up there, but I knew you were in the press box. But then when my dad came and I went all the way up there, I was like, oh, my God, it's Blake.
So tell me, what is your assignment usually with a Georgia football game?
So I help out Mark Weiser. Mark does the heavy lifting. He'll do the grades. He'll do the takeaways, the live updates, all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of there for trending. I'm there for injured players. Injuries happen. So like last week when Colby broke his leg, that was me. I immediately was like, oh, he's running to the tent. Okay. And then I'll do post-game trendings as well. Like I did a post-game trending last week on Lawson Lucky and his three touchdowns, because that was the first time since 2008.
Yeah, I'm in my support. Yeah. That's all.
So that's kind of, I kind of do the slack of what Mark can't grab, because obviously one person can't do everything.
It's interesting how it's changed from when I was in the industry, which goes back to the last time I was actively covering sports was '96, which the internet had just barely come out.
Yeah.
So everything was still geared toward the deadline for print, and now everything's instantaneous.
Yep.
As soon as you got it, it's out there.
Oh, yeah. Everything we do. Mark publishes three stories at the final buzzer, like of the game. And then I usually will have one within 45 minutes of the game ending, as soon as Kirby's pressure is gone. So,
Stuart, you cover the college beating?
Not really. I mean, because there's so many outlets that do such a good job with that. We feel like we kind of fill our niche. But I had experience covering Georgia at the Red and Black for a couple seasons, including a national title. Actually, two national titles when I was covering them. Yeah,
good for you. Well, that last week's game against Ole Miss, it looked like the last team to have the ball was going to win. Neither one could stop each other. Jim, Lane Kiffin demonstrated that he's a great offensive line.
He is. He had, I mean, it was literally one of those games, I don't know what y'all think, but, you know, obviously two stops on defense. I mean, you know, Ole Miss last year had a few more guys on defense that allowed them to kind of jump on Georgia and get a little lead and win the game. But you could argue Georgia's defense is not that great, you know, the way they played against Tennessee and Ole Miss. But they were, and they talked about this a lot on TV, it just seems like it's a little more in Georgia's DNA to win a game like that than Ole Miss. So.
Didn't you come into the year thinking that Georgia's defense was going to be what would carry the team?
A little bit, but
what?
I don't really know what happened.
What do you think? I know I can tell you got an opinion.
It's a talent. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. I think a big problem has been the secondary. I mean, there's a lot of young players trying to feel it out and feel out playing at the college level. I mean, Ellis Robinson's a big recruit that people have wanted to see for a while now, and he's, I think, come along the last couple of weeks and played better. And DeMello Jones is also getting in the mix from Swainsboro.
Out last week, and DeMello Jones, and I thought DeMello played a great game.
I think he did.
But I think it's what's going on up front. The fact we're not getting that pass rush to not put the pressure on the quarterbacks is putting all the pressure on what's happening downfield, and it's just hard to cover anybody just that long.
Yeah, and I'd say in the secondary they're having trouble getting their heads around on some of those deeper throws. We've seen a lot of pass interference calls against Georgia this year, and with your point up front, I feel like, you know, Kristen Miller is really the best player on that line, and on the edges, we just haven't seen any of these new guys they've brought in. Madozi, you know, came over as a transfer. Gabe Harris was supposed to play a bigger role. And we see it in spurts, but they don't have that consistent guy on the edge like they used to with, you know, Nolan Smith or Trayvon Walker in the last few years. And they aren't getting the push up the middle. They don't have a Jalen Carter, obviously. I mean, that's a high bar. And I feel like they don't get calls as a front either. I see a lot of holding calls up front where the refs are just letting it go, and I think that would help our opinion of this Georgia front if they were earning some of those calls, and they're just not getting them for whatever reason right now.
Of course, Josh Horton came through and made a couple of big plays late, and of course knocked down the pass at the end of the game and sealed the game for Georgia, but they just really haven't got much of that pass rush going on this year, and that's been a big factor. On the other side of the ball, I mean, Gunnar Stockton plays a surprise. I mean, did you guys see him in high school, or was that before y'all?
I didn't get to see him. Yeah.
I saw him play against Prince Avenue in the COVID year. They were on ESPN. Prince went up there.
I remember that. Yep, I watched him on TV.
Won the game. And I, frankly, after I saw Gunnar Stockton in that game, I thought, personally, I don't think his skill set transitions that well to playing the quarterback position in college. But he surprised me, and pleasantly so. He's always had a strong arm. I didn't think he was tall enough, and I wasn't sure about his the way he thought and moved, but he's a good quarterback. And I think they've done a lot because of what he's done with
him. Yeah, I think the trust has definitely built up since the beginning of the year. I don't think they trusted him very much during the first two games of the year. But then, I mean, at Auburn, that Superman touchdown he had, that they are living for him now. And they're trusting him, and they're like, okay, he can run this offense the same way that, you know, Carson Beck and Stetson Bennett.
Blake and I talk about this almost every week. You know, Georgia can beat anybody, I think, on the right day. The problem is, like you were talking about on defense, and it's different now. I mean, you're always going to run up against teams that are going to score points nowadays. But, you know, if they get in a shootout, they can beat just about anybody. They do if their defense is just a little better. They probably, who knows, you know.
But and another thing, our running game is solid, but we don't seem to have the breakaway.
Yeah.
Of course, Dwight Phillips has got the speed, but he doesn't get many opportunities. And I don't know if that's because he can't block, because he's so small. I mean, I'm not complaining about Chauncey Bowens and Nate Frazier and Josh McRae. Those guys are doing fine. And Cash Jones. But, you know, we don't seem to get the 40-yarders or things like that.
Yeah. Know that Dwight's nickname is
Peanut? Yeah. No, I did not. His real name is Peanut?
No, his nickname. The team nickname is Peanut.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's so small.
All right, good deal. He is small. So, and, you know, I wonder. Never mind. That's not an issue.
I tell you something, that being an Auburn fan, I'm frustrated about a lot of things. But, gosh, Georgia's kicking game. I mean, you know, compared to some other people, they're really good. I mean, the place kicker, I mean, gosh, I think that may make a difference now.
That's been a long-term thing, too. They had that long streak with extra points where they made, I think it was 800-something in a row for a long term. It was some crazy number.
If you're a fan of a team that's don't have good kickers, you notice it. Trust me.
That's true.
Georgia has, you can go all the way back even to Bobby Etter, and then to Alan Levin, and just all the way through. They always had great kickers, I mean, always. And they've usually had very good punters, too. And of course, Brent Thorson is the good to come. Of course, he didn't even get on the field last week. And then I understand that Georgia's got the number one kicker in the country. He was committed to come. He's got an unusual name, something with a Z. We already had a Z guy who transferred out. This is a different
name. Yeah. I can't remember the name either.
So they always commit to having a good kicker and a great tradition and kicker. So can we expect to see a dramatically different Florida team on the field in the Gator Bowl in 2 weeks? Or a week and a half now?
Probably. I mean, Kirby said on Monday, Tuesday, because it's a bye week, so he came out on Tuesday to talk to us.
It's an open week. It's not a bye week.
Yeah, I forgot. That's an NFL term now. So on the open week, he comes out on Tuesday and he was talking to us. He said that, you know, there's not much you can do with a 1 week turnaround, and there's not much more you can do with a 2 week turnaround. So I don't know. I don't know how much different Florida's going to be, but at the same time, how good have they been?
I think they're going to do just what Auburn did against Georgia and what Tennessee did. They'll play good early, and then Georgia will kind of take over the game.
It's been the pattern,
Auburn came out and introduced a whole new package that Georgia was not used to, and then when they got a second half, that package was expired, and they couldn't do anything after that.
Like I said, I predict that's similar that will happen with Florida. Florida's got good players.
Very talented.
I mean, their coaches aren't stupid. They'll have a good plan. But I just think, we talked about before the year, you know, they can make the playoffs with two losses.
Yes.
You know, the game this past Saturday was the game that you might have lost, and then all of a sudden if you lose a third one, you might not make the playoff. Winning Saturday was big because I think they probably got one more loss coming, but it probably doesn't matter.
Georgia Tech, I think, is – I'm scared about that game as a Georgia fan now who's not covering them anymore just because – I mean, last year, obviously, the 8-overtime thriller, and Georgia Tech really took it to them in the first half of that game, and they've only gotten better since then, and Haynes King is exactly the kind of quarterback that Georgia struggles with that mobility and that physicality that he brings. So
everybody struggles with Haynes.
That's true. He's a great player.
He must be, on Sundays, he must be so sore. He takes so many.
He does take a beating.
Yeah.
I just don't know how he does it.
Well, Chad, I think a lot of Georgia fans are already chalking up that Texas game as a victory, but I think that'll be a tie ball game, too.
I'm hoping that's a night game, too.
Yeah, they hadn't announced that yet, have they?
Yeah, I'm hoping we get a night atmosphere for that.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one kickoff time we don't know, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, because Charlotte is going to be 12:45, I think. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, how big is the injury to Colvin Young?
Oh, he's done.
I know he's done. How big is that to the team?
Very big.
I think he's been their best wide receiver and their most consistent guy. I mean, obviously, he gives them a unique body type, I think, that they're going to try to kind of use Noah Thomas in that role, who they liked in the offseason. It felt like there was a lot of talk about Thomas, but, I mean, it seemed like, to me, Gunner had the most trust in any receiver with Kobe Young, where he was trusting him to go up and catch some of these 50-50 balls, and I think some of those explosive plays we got from Kobe Young early in the season, they're going to have to find some guys to fill in that role. And it's not going to be easy because I think he's been, like I said, the best receiver on the roster this year.
I mean, Kirby said in all of his time at Georgia, Colby had probably the best fall camp he's ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. But, of course, then also Dylan Bell had what a game he had last week in the Ole Miss game. I mean, he's such a versatile player, and they can use him so many different ways. I'm disappointed he messed up that passing play he had over the
season. Yeah.
That was rough.
Well, I like your running backs. I mean, again, if you're an Auburn fan, you know, talking about the kickers earlier, I mean, if Frazier can hold on to the ball, I mean, I promise you, if you're a guy there on defense, and you don't want any of those guys to get him and 33 to get up ahead of steam, they're hard to deal with.
Well, you know, I think my wife said, Kirk Herbstreit said last week, and said Georgia has an embarrassment of riches at running back. And so you need running backs because they get beat up. Coach Dooley always said you could never have too many running backs on a football team.
Yeah. So think about what Josh McCray has done at times this year. I mean, he's the third back in there, but in key spots and high leverage moments, that Ole Miss fourth down that you don't get if he doesn't drive his legs there. In Tennessee, the touchdown to win it. I mean, getting to the goal line there, having that power back aspect as well. I think having a wealth of backs and even Cash Jones as the kind of third down back and the pass protector, it's always good to have different guys that you can problem solve with against a defense.
So is there a pathway for Georgia to get to the SEC championship game?
It's going to be tough because it's such a crowded conference this
A&M
year.
A&M wins this week.
It gets really tough.
Alabama wins out. That's it.
The loss to Alabama, you can't overstate how important that was in terms of the SEC championship game because that's been the thing, you know, every year with Kirby is this, you can't beat Alabama, unfortunately. So,
Which side of do you fall on when you say, well, I wish we weren't playing in the championship game because we get set up for the playoffs?
I think you better hope you don't play it.
Or do you want to play in the championship game?
I
like to play in the championship game. I like to win championships.
Me too, but it doesn't help your odds of winning a national championship anymore to do it because it is just going to be enough. I mean, last year against Texas, Carson Beck gets hurt in that game, and I'm not saying Georgia necessarily beats Notre Dame with Carson Beck, but I think they'd have a better shot in that game. And, you know, it's just another game where, especially in the SEC with the physicality of these teams now, having another game on your schedule is a big, you know, obstacle, and you're going to suffer injuries and you're going to continue to get guys beat up in that game regardless of who you're playing in that.
I got to mix them up. I agree with you because we're us old guys with gray hair.
I do too on paper.
You know, used to win the SEC championship was the ultimate.
It's still a big deal.
Yeah.
The SEC, you think about the teams that are in that conference. If you come out as a number one team, that is something to really hang your head on. Doesn't matter what – I mean, yes, it matters if you win a national championship, but still to be an SEC championship, that is something to brag about. I still think it's the strongest conference in America. The Big Ten is strong at the top. Ohio State is legitimate. I think Indiana is a little. You can't take away that win they got over Oregon. That was an honest win. They don't play each other this year, do they?
I try not to follow Ohio State.
Ohio State and Indiana.
So, I don't know.
So, Michigan State.
Yeah.
So what's going on with their football program?
Oh, I don't know.
Have they recovered from Mel Tucker yet?
I would think maybe a little bit. They're not at D'Antonio level.
You guys have had to deal with a lot of weird stuff up there with that gymnastics deal. And
yep.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, our school has taken quite a beating on that front. I would think Jonathan Smith is a good image for our school, though. I think he's doing a decent rebuild. I mean, Aiden Childs. We were joking at the beginning of the year in my old group chat with all the student reporters from the state news. They were like, you know, after that first or second game, I think it was, Aiden Childs for Heisman. Like, put him up for Heisman. And, I mean, that's the best we've seen out of a quarterback in quite some time. We haven't had a good team since K-9 was on the team. And obviously, we only had Kenneth Walker for one season.
Do y'all still brag about once having Nick Saban as your head coach?
No. Actually, my dad says this all the time. Michigan State fans don't like Nick Saban because he ditched us during the Orange Bowl. So
D'Antonio was a good coach.
Yeah, he was very
good. He really was.
Yeah. All right, good deal. Hey, thanks a lot for hanging around talking Georgia football with us.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, folks, we're at Brett's. We're having a great time. They brought us out a nice little appetizer tray here. And they'll take care of you when you come out here. We're going to be here next week, too. That's already on the agenda, so we'll next Thursday night. So come out, tell everybody about us. They need to like us, subscribe to us.
Email us.
Yeah, forward your links. Let everybody know about it. And by the Banner Hill and Oconee Enterprise, and read the reporting of these two excellent reports. We'll be back in a minute here on Sideline for Headlines. Hey, he's Jim Harden.
This is Blake Giles.
And this is Sideline.
And Headlines.
And we're back to talk some more college football here. And I want to thank again for Sarah Tidwell and Stuart Steele to come out and visit with us. Jim, we had enough that the axe fell again last week on Billy Napier down at Florida. Not really a surprise. From everything I was hearing, it really didn't matter whether they won or lost. They were going to make that decision during the off week.
Yeah, but I heard people say, you know, of course, it's probably Georgia Bulldogs kind of poking fun at the Gator fan base, saying they're toxic and whatever. The debate this week's been who they're going to get, you know, and it's a tough question. You know, I'm an Auburn fan. They're kind of in the same boat. If they lose to Arkansas this week, we may be having the same conversation next week. But what do you think? I mean, who do you think of all those coaches out there they're talking about that are sort of would be candidates?
Well, you know, the name that gets thrown out the most prominently is Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin. But as you and I talked last week, I'm not sure that if I would want to leave Ole Miss if I'm Lane Kiffin. He's already in the Southeastern Conference. Now, what does he gain by going to Florida?
What?
Bigger recruiting base.
Right.
I'm not sure there's anything else he gains.
Well, I agree and disagree. I do think there's potential at Florida that there's not at Ole Miss in a lot of ways. I mean, the recruiting, you know, the recruiting deal is a little different than it used to be. Lane's been a master of the NIL at Ole Miss. So at some point, he kind of crash and burn on that and doesn't maintain what he's done the last couple of years at Ole Miss. I don't know. You look at LSU, look at Georgia, Florida. There's certain programs in the SEC that have more potential than the rest of the pack.
The ceiling is higher at those schools, you would think, than it is at Ole Miss. However, as you mentioned, the portal and NIL, we're finding out that's making a difference. Look at what Vanderbilt's been able to
Absolutely.
Do. They were able to get into the portal, get a bunch of players. They've got some NIL money. People will go. We understand that Jared Curtis, the five-star quarterback commit from Georgia, who lives in Nashville, has been going to Vanderbilt football games. I'm sure they're going to try to steal him.
Well, Kiffin's going to get paid either way, I think, financially.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still a relatively young guy. He's about 50, I think. I mean, if he's got in his mind, I want to coach another 15 years, then that may play in it. You know, you look at historically, Ole Miss is...
Well, if he wants to think about, I want to win a national championship.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah.
Because can he do that at Ole Miss? I mean, they almost got into the playoffs last year, and they're set up decently to get into the playoffs this year. And I was looking to see who they've got on their schedule.
Well, they play Oklahoma. I heard a couple people say in the last couple of days, that's an elimination game for the playoff. The loser of that game
probably
not getting in the playoff.
Both teams come in 6-1 overall. and both teams have one loss in the conference. And so that could be a big elimination game. And I like Ole Miss, even though it's at Oklahoma.
I do too.
I just really impressed with what Kiffin's offense was able to do against Georgia. He calls a masterful game plan, and he's got a talented quarterback in Trinidad Chambliss. Somebody said it's too bad he doesn't have a twin brother named Tobago that they can throw to.
Trinidad and Tobago.
So here's some other names you hear about. Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. They're also right in there. They're 6-1 overall, 2-1 in the conference. They play a big game at Vanderbilt. That's probably another, quote, elimination
game. Yep.
So it's just so much of the season still to come, and there's so many teams way up there. It's going to shake out. We just don't know. I don't know how much money Missouri has. I mean, they're making a big addition to their football stadium right now.
Which looks pretty ugly on TV during the game.
It does. But he's demonstrated he can recruit up there, and he was able to keep the receiver, Burton, to stay in Missouri. So maybe he'll be the guy that will want to stay there. Another name was mentioned, John Sumrall at Tulane. Jed Fish at Washington. James Franklin. I just don't see that him coming to Florida. I don't see Florida willing to bring him down.
Well, speaking of Sumrall, right, at Tulane?
Yeah.
A lot of Auburn people are starting to talk about him. He might be the guy that Auburn. What do you think about John Gruden? Is that just the flavor of the day?
I think that's just something that Gruden kind of throws out there to keep his name prominent or something. I would be very hesitant about hiring John Gruden, given the fact that his background is in professionals. Does he know how to organize a recruiting staff?
Right.
You can hire people to do that, but still, you got to be able to go out on the road and do that kind of thing. Here's a name that I've seen thrown out a little bit lately is Todd Monken.
Yep.
Who's now with the Ravens. And, of course, their season is going so south with the injury to the quarterback that they're having a tough year for them. And he demonstrated while he was at Georgia, he's certainly a great offensive mind. But I don't know how much he wants to get back into that recruiting mold to be the head guy. His brother's up in Army, so he can talk to him about what's it like being a head coach.
What about Brent Key? Would he leave Tech?
Well, he's a Tech alum. It seems to me that he's probably in love with Tech, and Tech's in love with him right now, I would think.
I agree with you, but he makes $4 million a year. Would $12 million a year make you change that?
That's true. It could.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Tech, if somebody comes knocking, they'll probably try to be proactive and keep him. But
So does Auburn have to win at Arkansas for Hugh Freeze to stay, keep his job?
I think so. It's like us talking about all these other coaches, these situations. I mean, who really pulls the trigger?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got these big money boosters. You got these athletic directors that are probably a little bit puppets to some degree. You know, you have to, if you fire them, you got to buy them out. You have the buyout, plus you got to go hire another coach. I don't even really understand how those dollars work. But it seems like the average fan, somebody like me, you know, stuff you see on social media, Auburn fans, they're kind of done with Freeze.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if he comes out and loses to Bobby Petrino, of all people, you know, this week.
Yeah. Well, it's not like he's getting run off the field. I mean, they lost by, let me see, I wrote this all down here. They lost by 7 to Oklahoma, lost by 6 to A&M. Georgia was the most one-sided loss, and that was 10 points, and then they lost by 6 to Missouri. But you lose 4 straight games.
But when does that become who you are, you know? It's almost like you'd rather him got blown out in a couple of those and won a couple of them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, speaking of the Auburn and the Georgia game, did you see where the official was suspended permanently?
I wasn't going to bring that up.
For working in
They cheated. They cheated Auburn.
And they said something about, you know, this is what I'm reading online. And again, 11 complaints, 9 substantiated or whatever. I don't know exactly what they were. Again, I don't know that the fumble was one of the issues. I don't know if that was a judgment call. They made a judgment. People make wrong judgment calls all the time. I don't think you'd call that, as long as it's not a habit to make the wrong judgment call. But did they make the call? I don't know.
Well, I told you that night I wasn't going to complain about that. My complaint was that Jackson Arnold held the ball up like that and let him knock it out of his hand, whether it was a touchdown or not. So.
Yeah. Well, what about Georgia Tech right now, 7-0, unbeaten, ranked as high as they've been this late in the season for a long time. They're unbeaten deeper into the season than Georgia.
Since 1963 is the last time they were 7-0, Bobby Dodd.
Well be.
I heard that.
Wow. Playing Syracuse this week, which until they lost Steve Angeli, their quarterback, was doing
pretty
well.
Pretty good.
They really struggled since then, so I think they're going to be able to take care of it. But Tech's been they've played with their food a little bit sometimes. They've won some close games.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's almost – You can't think this way, even as fans, you shouldn't. I mean, more power to them. Their fans hope they keep winning. But it's almost like if they lose one, it might take the pressure off a little bit, you know. Can you imagine if they're undefeated when Georgia comes to town? Well, that's going to be.
And if Georgia can win out, then you're going to have a game that's got a team with 11 wins and a team with 10 wins. 21 wins between those two teams when they meet on Friday afternoon at Thanksgiving. That'll be huge. And it may be that it may not even be for a playoff. It may be, if you're looking at that, those two teams could be in the playoff already. You just don't know.
Well, that's right. They need to keep winning because every win gets you more, qualifies you a little bit more to be a playoff
contender. They don't have anybody left on their schedule that's overwhelming.
No, Pitt might have beat them. I mean, they might have lose this. You can lose any
win. They play Florida State, don't they?
No.
They don't play Florida State?
I don't think
Florida
so.
That plays Florida.
Yeah.
So, Tech could get to that ACC championship game and play for the championship. And who saw that coming on there?
Talking about Georgia going to the SEC championship game. If we didn't really touch on this, but, you know, you go to Atlanta and then get beat, and you got 3 losses at that point. What does that do to you? Same with Tech. You know, if they go to the ACC title game and get beat, you know, how does that affect you?
Could well be. What about Alabama and South Carolina? Does South Carolina have any chance to win that game?
I don't know. Nothing would surprise me. We say that every week. But Alabama just seems like...
they've really found a rhythm, haven't they?
Offensively, the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think South Carolina's a little bit in disarray.
You know, you look at that. South Carolina came within a hairbreadth of winning in Tuscaloosa last year.
Right.
And things have just kind of gone off the rail for them this year. Lenore Sellers, everybody was really singing his praises before the year. He's been a pretty pedestrian quarterback, if you ask me, this year.
They were the type team, I think they had potential in the beginning, but they needed a lot of things to go right and get some momentum. And when it didn't, it's like Auburn, you know. It's like they kind of fell off the rails and they can't get back on, you know.
Then we've got Texas at Mississippi State. Mississippi State. If they just run the ball on third down, they beat Florida and finally get a conference win. Instead, they throw that interception to a defensive tackle, and Billy Napier gets to ride off into the sunset crying with a victory.
He got a big victory and a big paycheck.
Yeah, that's right.
What about LSU and A&M? What do you think about that?
Well, I really think A&M's going to win the game. I'm just not convinced that LSU can score enough points. I mean, I think they're the only Power 4 team that has yet to score more than 24 points against another Power 4 opponent this year. Their offense just is unable to put the points on the board. They've got a good defense, but they just can't score enough points.
Well, I don't know. Something about – and I hadn't really watched them play. Something about – is this a little doubt in my mind about A&M, but, you know – it's one of those things, you know, they got guys, they got players, they got guys on their roster, they got momentum. I mean, I wouldn't want to, you know.
You know, I don't really know much about their coach, Elko.
I don't really know
much about him and about his style and his system and everything. Really haven't seen much of them since that Notre Dame game when they won up there. And they could have won that game by a bigger margin.
Yeah, they could have.
They're sitting there. They're unbeaten. And they're kind of playing a little bit with house money because they're kind of in the background a little bit.
People
have kind of overlooked them. And where are they ranked right now? I don't even know.
Third?
Are they that high? They
may be even number two. Who's second?
Number one is going to be Ohio State. Number two is going to be Indiana.
That's right. They're third then.
Yeah. And then would be Texas A&M. And then who's four? Is that
Alabama, then Georgia?
Then Georgia. Okay. So Georgia back up there knocking on that Alabama door again.
That's nice.
And then the last game this week that to even think about is Tennessee at Kentucky. Tennessee 5-2, 2-2 in the conference. Kentucky 2-4, 0-4 in the conference. Kentucky, they just had a chance last week to get a big win.
I think they're at the point where, you know, all these other teams are winning. Everybody can't win. They're just on the wrong side of kind of where we are right now, it seems like. Wonder what they'll do with their coaching situation.
I don't know. You know, Stoops is the dean of the SEC coaches by a long shot. And there's a different expectation at Kentucky. And maybe he's meeting those expectations. Just keep us solvent until we get into basketball season.
That's right. They just want a football team. The basketball team can be proud of.
There you go. And then of course Missouri at Vanderbilt.
Is game day?
Game day is going to be in Nashville.
Unbelievable.
That's going to be interesting for Saban to be on the Vanderbilt campus, given his comments about Vanderbilt.
That's right.
He said, I just can't pick Vanderbilt to win.
What did they beat Missouri? I mean, that, like we said earlier, that's probably an elimination game for the playoff. Whoever loses that.
Well, you would think so. And here's what Vanderbilt has. Missouri, after Vanderbilt, they host Texas A&M. They host Mississippi State. Then they go to Oklahoma, and they go to Arkansas. So the A&M game is definitely a tough game this Missouri's got to play. And you think the Oklahoma game might be tough.
Well,
now, here's what Vandy's got. They go to Texas, they host Auburn, they host Kentucky, and then they go to Tennessee. So, I mean, there's some losses for both teams there.
They probably said that wrong. An elimination game, what's more interesting about that is the flip side of that. The winner has got a real chance to maybe be in the playoff.
You know, Wall Street Journal, their sports editor, Jason Gay, I don't know if you ever read any of his stuff. He's a very funny writer. I enjoy reading his stuff. And he talked about the national championship this year is going to be Indiana against Vanderbilt.
Yeah. I mean,
in what world would you have ever thought that would happen?
There would be some people's heads were going to explode if that happened.
Oh, me.
I thought about, we mentioned earlier, about the Georgia High School Hall of Fame thing this weekend. And I was curious. So many people are going in. I just was curious how that ceremony works. But it hit me. Georgia's off. I wonder if Kirby will be in Atlanta for that. It's at the College Football Hall of Fame.
It's on a Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he won't be recruiting, so he might well be there. So he's one of the ones going in.
Anyway, Kirby's going in. Cam Newton,
yeah. Auburn got Walt Frazier, NBA star, played with the Knicks for so many years and was a star up there.
Several Auburn guys. Carlos Rogers, defensive back on the 04 team that went undefeated. Steve Wallace, Shambly Bulldog that played. He was the center as a freshman on the field in 1982 when Bo went over the top.
Okay.
I think, pretty sure he was the center. He moved to tackle. He got a couple of Super Bowl rings. But he makes fun of himself. He kind of got jacked up on that play and almost got sovereign.
Well, and then we mentioned him last week, Paul Gilbert, who was the guy injured that gave Mike Cavan his opportunity to play.
That's
Paul
right.
Came back as a senior. He was the national player of the week when Georgia beat South Carolina in Sanford Stadium one year, and he finished up playing well. He's going to go into the Georgia Hall of Fame. He was an all-star high school quarterback, also was a good baseball player. Was one of the YMCA Kelly's boys, grew up in there, wound up moving up to Gainesville, and worked up there most of his adult life and everything. But he's going to go in there, and so real proud for him to get in there. Robert Edwards.
Robert Edwards.
Yeah, Robert Edwards, who had one of the most tragic off-field injuries out in Hawaii.
In a volleyball game.
Yeah, a touch football on the beach or something like that. And
well, I just thought, when I saw that list, I think this is like the third year they've done the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. It's just incredible how many guys come from the state of Georgia. You don't even think
about it. Well, this is not just football, though, right?
No, it's a football.
So Walt Frazier was a football player? I did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought this was a like a just all sports kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What was his position? Do you have any idea?
He may have played quarterback. I read something about it this week.
I wonder if Tony Flanagan will ever make it. You remember Tony?
Two-star, to help me.
He was a basketball player at Georgia, but he also played quarterback. He went to Southwest Atlanta High School and came to Georgia. Was started on the basketball team and was a third-team quarterback. Played at Auburn 1 year. They got far enough ahead for him to play a little bit in that game. He was...
What year would that have been?
He played at Georgia in the mid-70s. That would have been the 75 or 76 game at Auburn that he got in that game. He died when he was like in his mid-40s. He was like a rec director somewhere over in the Atlanta area, recreation director. But he was a really good athlete, just one of those natural athletes.
Well, you know I got to bring, I'm going to work this in. Presbyterian College won again.
Are they unbeaten?
They're unbeaten. They're probably going. They play Dayton this week. They'll be favored. I think. When I was in college at Presbyterian College. It's when Notre Dame, Lou Holtz was in their heyday. Tony Rice was Notre Dame's quarterback from Woodruff, South Carolina, which was about 15 miles away from Clinton. Every little child in Clinton claimed that Tony Rice was their cousin. Well, my roommate grew up in Avondale. I'm going somewhere with this story. My roommate, college roommate, a guy named Blake Pubman, he grew up in Avondale. And Danny Buggs from Avondale is going to the Georgia Hall of Fame. And he said the same thing when he was growing up in Avondale. Everybody was Danny Buggs' cousin. But Danny Buggs was a great. I remember him playing for the Washington Redskins.
You know, we talked about... when we came in here tonight, we met a guy named David Rogers. Introduced you. David was telling a story about coming to Georgia games, and he said that he always hated sitting behind somebody with shakers because they would do those shakers and you couldn't see the game. And so he would go and get there early to the game where they put the shakers out, and he'd go around to all the chairs and get up the shakers and put them somewhere else. And everybody in that section of the bleachers would thank him because they could see the game.
See the game.
They weren't having to look through shakers. And his son says, "Dad, I can always tell your section on TV because it was the one
with no shaker." That's pretty good.
The things we do to watch and enjoy college football.
Absolutely.
Any chance you're going down to the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville?
No, we talked about it, but we're not. Are you going?
Well, I have tickets. Just depends. Jan had knee replacement surgery. She's doing really well. She's back to driving some, walking without a cane. She could make the trip. We're just not sure that we're going to do it. But we've got tickets, so maybe we'll decide by next week.
Well, we've got to go to a wedding this weekend, so I want to enjoy watching Georgia, Florida on TV.
All right, good deal.
We got some new merchandise, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
sidelines and headlines. My wife, Jackie, put those together, and we're at Brett's.
Yeah.
Y'all come... Come see Brett on Atlanta Highway.
You can get in touch with us by email, sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com, and we will check our mail and get back to you if we need to. And, of course, always, we're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on whatever your podcast are, Facebook. So when you see that, subscribe to us and maybe send a link to your friends to say, "Hey, I just saw this great podcast."
This great podcast.
And,
two good-looking gray hair guys.
Yeah. Besides us, somebody standing in for. Well, Jimmy, it's been fun. We had a great time visiting with our high school reporters and everything. So what do you say we sign off for the night?
Next week, same place, same time.
All right, good deal. We'll be back here with Sidelines and Headlines in 1 week.